This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Connor Riley, I don't think it was a shock to people who knew the potential of this team, but I think America did not expect to see the dominance of what happened in Austin on Saturday night. What are your interpretations of what went down? Because up front, this is what I was getting from people back in Texas. They are getting destroyed up front, and Georgia on the offensive and defensive fronts.
That's a Texas defensive line that has multiple guys that are going to play in the NFL sooner rather than later. And it just was a total mismatch throughout that entire game. Texas finished the game with 29 rushing yards. They had 38 yards of offense at halftime, 2 of 15. On third down. This Georgia team has played a lot of great defensive games in its past. I think that this is absolutely on the short list where the two drives that they score on, one started at the Georgia 9 and the other started at the Texas 45-yard line. They did nothing of consequence in the first half. I thought the first 30 minutes was probably the best half of football that this Georgia defense has ever played under Kirby Smart. And it didn't matter if Quinn Ewers was back there, Arch Manning was back there, you could have put Peyton Manning back there. I don't know that it would have made a difference with how well guys like Jalen Walker, Mykel Williams, and that entire Georgia front played on Saturday.
I love the fact they got ETN to be a big focal point. I know I was banging the drum on that last week in our conversation. Connor, ETN with 87 on the ground and 23 in the air and just moving the chains, three touchdowns, just huge. And just seems like the physicality you just talked about. And the other side of it was the defense. I mean, a healthy Mykel Williams is just a difference maker. Talk about the job the defense did. Walker, Everett, all those guys.
Yeah, Mykel Williams played, I think, 42 snaps since he got hurt in the Clemson game. And I think it's not a coincidence that he plays his most snaps of the season on Saturday. The two games where he's been healthiest, Texas and Clemson, have also been Georgia's two best games defensively to this point in time. So I think when you have him, when you're able to pair him opposite Jalen Walker, who was just absolutely phenomenal, and not just with the way that he got after it and the impact of this game on the stat sheet, but his leadership, his, you know, the way he goes out there and encourages his teammates. There's a video going around where Julian Humphrey had a late pass breakup, fourth down or third down there, and Humphrey's doing a little celebration, doing the seatbelt celebration, and Jalen Walker comes over and starts barking at him, telling him to knock it off. And it's stuff like that that is why this Georgia defense and why this Georgia team still has national championship potential, even with all some of the issues in the Georgia passing game right now and with how they've looked in recent weeks. If this defense is capable of summoning that type of performance in big games on the road, they've got a chance to win a national championship. It looked like with the way that Texas offense was playing, with the way they struggled to block up front, it looked like that game was being played on the road. That's how dominant the Georgia defensive front was.
Yeah, I thought Georgia overwhelmed them in the first half, and it shook them a little bit because of the physicality and what was going on. We're talking with our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tell me about this passing game. I mean, whether it was Delp or Lovett, or Lucky Lawson. I mean, all these guys, there was a variety of guys that caught balls. There was no one dominant receiver, although Lovett, I think, got 11 targets, but he only caught four of those balls.
The whole night was a mess. You know, when Dylan Bell, who I think is right, Georgia's best receiver, drops his first two pass attempts, so this is probably going to be a long night for this group. And, yes, Carson Beck didn't have a great game, but I thought what Kirby Smart said in the post game, where he said it was almost comical, our ability to catch a football, that's about as harsh as he's ever been in sort of criticizing a position group at large. And they've just got to be better. And it's not like they weren't separating or weren't being out there and getting plays. They were open. Carson was throwing into open windows. and guys are just dropping passes left and right. And maybe it's a one-off, maybe it's just one bad game where it seems like everyone sort of got a case of the dropsies. But if this is going to be something where it's going to continue, because I think the Georgia pass catchers for the most part this year have done some positive things. Arian Smith has shown big playability. Dylan Bell had the big play against Alabama. You know, Lawson Lucky's had a really encouraging season. But they've all had really good individual moments. But I thought across the position group, both you want to include tight ends in there as well, that's about as poor of a game as you've seen from a position group at Georgia this season.
Is our man Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation, as Georgia now will have some time off, get ready for the cocktail party. One of the drawbacks, though, is the damn, you know, targeting rule. And I know that targeting is tough for the fans to understand. We want to see guys obviously not have neck and head neck injuries and see somebody, you know, get paralyzed. But there's got to be some kind of interpretation when a runner or a wide receiver lowers his head or he changes his center of gravity. They make you expect to be like the Matrix. You got to stop in midair and now change. So it's to me like the interpretation doesn't allow for interpretation. So what happens now? Are they ever going to address it? We'll get to the blown call in a second. But that drives me crazy.
You know, I think like the Dan Jackson one. Like, yes, it's tough because the Texas defender drops his head. But if you're a defender like Dan, you know you can't lower your head like that. That one I think is a little tough. Like the Janelle Aguero one. I don't know what you want these guys to do. You know, that's one where I would like to see that one be rescinded and change moving forward. Because again, you know, Janelle just happens to be going lower than him because he's just naturally shorter than the ground. And these are things now where, you know, I get the ejection and you want to, you know, curtail some of this stuff so that it's not a repeat offenders and guys keep doing this. But to sit out the fourth quarter in what was a close game and now you're going to be shorthanded in the secondary in that first half against Florida, who's playing some of the best football of the season. You know, KJ Bolden's going to have to play a lot more now. Corey Thomas, who I thought came in and played well off the bench. You're going to be short-staffed, and that's going to have a real impact going into this game against Florida. But, you know, and I know, Mike, we're going to get to the pass interference call, non-call. I thought even if you remove that incredibly, like, historic gap, it was an incredibly poorly officiated game. There were a lot of questionable calls. There were some very, like, just dubious spots, replay reviews, overviews. I thought it was an incredibly poorly called game, and that's even before you factor in the throwing of things on the field and just the way that entire situation was handled.
All right, well, let's talk about it because that's the elephant in the room, Connor. Listen, Josh Brooks put out a statement late night Saturday. I read it Sunday morning when I got up and was doing the national show, and I thought it was brilliant the way he phrased it and talked about this moment. We know how Kirby felt about it. I feel like this is a solvable issue, meaning replay, challenge flags.
Right.
You can do the same thing we see in the National Football League. And maybe it takes a moment like this for college football to wake up and say, okay, you know what? This is the right way to go about it because you felt cheated. Even though it didn't affect the outcome of the game, dog fans felt like, dude, if you – what's going on here?
You marked the ball for play and then had another confab. So somebody got in somebody's ear, Carl.
What do you
think,
Connor?
Not only did they mark the ball to play, like time started running off the clock. There were 16 seconds left on the play clock. Like Georgia, they've been going hurry up, could have snapped the ball there, and we could have been on our way. And then one lone fan throws a beer onto the field, and the Texas fans see this, and they all just start chucking it on there. And it's about a 4-minute delay. And I guess after spotting the ball, after announcing the penalty, something I don't know that I've seen all that often, where they've started the process of the next play, they go in there and change it. And look, blown calls happen in college football all the time. It happens in every sport. It's unfortunate. It is a factor of the game. And, you know, like if that's pass interference, which I don't believe it was pass interference, I thought at best maybe it was holding, I would have been okay with a no call there. And obviously the interception stood. I just, the whole process, and you set up, as Kirby Smart pointed out, a terrible precedent. And I went back and I rewatched the game, and I was curious to hear what Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler were saying as it was going on. And Herbstreit said, you know, the most important thing is that they got it right. In this situation, the process was so messed up and such a bad example moving forward. I actually don't think that's the case. I think the process has to be right and has to be correct. Because I guarantee you there's going to be a play in a big game this weekend. Let's say it's LSU at Texas A&M, where there's a call that the home crowd doesn't like.
Right.
They're now going to start doing this and seeing if they can get these officials where they are able to flash the play up on the board and say, oh, we got this wrong. Because that's the other thing. Pass interference plays aren't reviewable, but they show the replay in stadium. and the refs just naturally have a wandering eye and go up there and look at it. And
they did.
This is something where there is an absolute home field advantage here. And look, I know that they've got to defend the refs and they've got to defend the officials. And Greg Sankey has come out and reprimanded Texas in the way that the fans interacted there. Sankey also has to come down on these officials because that's the biggest issue here. You know, the fan behavior, look, it sets up a bad example, but that all starts because of what happened with the officials there and the decision that they made. Once those things were thrown on the field, which, by the way, there was no delay of game called on Texas there either, or no penalty when it came to that. Once that started, everything that unfurled from there, I believe, falls at the feet of the officials.
And then, of course, the touchdown makes it an 8-point game at the time. So, obviously, huge momentum, although the call, of course, was inaccurate. Yet, give me some transparency. I want to know, give me the minute-by-minute. Where'd the call? Who said, did ref literally go, oh, wow, look at the big screen? We see that every week in the NFL. There's an injury timeout. You know, there's breaks in the action. These refs, they're not like deaf, dumb, and blind. They can look at the TV. This one was wacky. Hey, go ahead.
And there's no way for us to ask the officials afterwards. There's no press conference. There's no pool reporter to go and speak to these officials. There's absolutely no accountability when it comes to the officials here. This is the number one thing that anyone is talking about coming out of this game between what was the number one team in the country and the number five team in the country. This could have been an SEC championship preview. This could even well have been a national championship preview. And the thing that we are talking about most coming out of this, as I think we have to, is this officiating blunder. And that's an absolute black eye on this game, on this league, on SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, who was present in Austin for this game to see sort of all of this unfold.
Yeah, everybody was there. I totally agree with you. Well stated, black eye for the game when we should be talking about what the kids did, well, these young men, and how the game ultimately played out. I agree with you, Connor. We got a roll. I know we didn't get into Florida, but we got plenty of time to do that. The only concern, I guess, is the mistakes of Carson Beck. They were able to
tighten that up, man.
They were able to overcome that, right? I mean, I said they won in spite of him. Let's be honest. The three picks, but the defense was so dominant. Are you concerned about that before we let you go in a big game once again where he showed he was vulnerable?
I'm going to be very interested in how he plays in this Florida game because that game obviously means a lot to him being from Jacksonville. I think it's clear that he's pressing, he's trying to create, and he doesn't have the same skill talent that he had around him last year. I think this Florida game, while Georgia's obviously a better team, is massive for Carson Beck, at least to try and reset the narrative a little bit.
Great stuff. Right, bro. Connor, tell the people where they can follow you and get your stuff, man.
Yep, you guys can follow us on me on Twitter at @KConnerRiley. We've got a ton of stuff coming out still from this Georgia game. Kirby Smart got his 100th career win on Saturday. I've got some numbers behind that coming for a story tomorrow.
Great stuff.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.